Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message.
The first scripture reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." The second reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word. Amen."
Nearly everyone has heard of the Ten Commandments, the list of thou shalt nots found in the Bible. Jesus saw in these commandments not onerous burdens, but guardrails and guideposts designed to help us experience the good and beautiful life. Words that set safe boundaries, create order out of chaos, help communities live peacefully, and protect us, often from ourselves. Every thou shalt not was intended to point to a life-giving thou shalt. These ancient words were given by a loving God who longed to protect us from harm while pointing toward the keys to a deeply meaningful and joyful life. Words of Life, reading the Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus.
Words of Life, yes. Taking a look at these Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus and seeing a different take on them, a different meaning as we dive into them. And so as I was thinking about this, and I thought of, as Steve was reading Exodus 20 again, that you're probably thinking, well, didn't I just hear that? I think I just heard that, those first few verses. And you did. You heard those last week. And then next week you'll hear them again. As we continue to build on the Ten Commandments. So maybe by the end of the series, maybe you'll have those first four completely memorized as we read them over and over again. And sometimes it's interesting because as we read Scripture over and over again, new meanings get infused into them as we hear certain words multiple times. I encourage you to have your bulletins handy. In your bulletins, you do find your compass guides with scripture readings for the week. Also in there is a little spot for prayer requests as well as for notes. So when the Spirit speaks to you, because I know that God's Spirit will speak today, that you could take notes and you could jot something down so that you don't necessarily forget like I would do. Would you pray with me? Gracious Almighty God, we come striving to hear your word. We want to hear your message. God, we know the Ten Commandments. But God, we want to hear your word for us today in those commands. And so speak. Speak to us as we listen. And God, I ask that the words that I speak would no longer be my own, but your words for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here we are, we're in our second week of this worship series based on these Ten Commandments, the Words of Life worship series that talks about the list of laws, words that tell us what we shouldn't do, and now we shift them to focusing on them as seeing them through the eyes of Jesus. Because as the video has shared, behind each thou shalt not is a greater thou shall. And so during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a new look into the Jewish law. You might remember Jesus expressing these words, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." Now many times the words that followed actually increased the understanding as well as the difficulty of the previous stated law. However, I think we truly need to see these commands as something greater. We need to understand that they are not just a list of laws to follow because God said so, but that by following them, we experience a deeper relationship. Relationships with God and with others. Now, you might remember me telling you last week about the Ten Commandments being broken down into two different groups. One through four focus on our vertical relationship, and that is our relationship with God. In essence, asking us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then 5 through 10 turn our focus to this horizontal relationship, the relationships we have with each other. And they help us live in harmony with others, in effect, asking us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, you might notice that this is only the second week of the series, but that we are already on the third commandment. And that is because we are covering two commands a week. Sunday morning worship, we cover one, and then during our Pathways worship on Wednesday evenings, we'll focus on another. So this Wednesday will be the fourth commandment. And you're all invited to join us for a little different worship experience on Wednesdays at 6:30, either in the sanctuary or on Facebook Live. But also, there are some small groups that are studying these even more in depth. Small groups that are meeting on Tuesdays at 1:30 on Zoom, Wednesdays at 7:15 after the worship series, and then on Thursdays at 7 on Zoom. Join us. You don't have to say, "Well, I missed the first one, so I probably shouldn't go to the second." Come on over. Covering each different command, so each week is a little different. And so now onto this third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. My first inclination on this is to think about this in the context of those four letter words. You probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, growing up, I remember having the fear of God put in me by my parents to never swear. I was truly afraid of that all too familiar punishment that kids would slip and say one of those words. And I mean, we all know when someone who has faced this at some point in their lives, it's also shown really well in a movie clip. And you know how I love movie clips. And this is one of my favorite movies. I've got so many of them. But you probably understand why I'm showing this one. So go ahead and show the clip of this one here.
All right. Where did you hear that word?
Now, I had heard that word at least 10 times a day from my old man. My father worked in profanity the way other artists might work in oils or clay. It was his true medium, a master. But I chickened out, and I blurted out the first name that came to mind.
Schwartz! Oh, I see. Hello, Mrs. Schwartz? Yes, I'm fine. Mrs. Schwartz, do you know what Ralph just said? No. He said... Yes, that. Do you know where he heard it?
Probably from his father.
No, he heard it from your son.
What? 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 Oh, what did I do, Mom? Why did you do that? Oh!
Another shot of mysterious, inexorable official justice.
Rinse out and go to bed. Oh, am I glad you finished your homework this afternoon. So I want you getting right into bed, and I don't want to see any lights on. You are being punished, so no comic book reading. I'm going to come in there, and if there are any lights on, don't you give me that look. You're going to get it.
Yes. If you don't remember, shortly after that particular point, she actually tastes the soap. Anyone ever have their mouth washed out with soap? Maybe you don't. Oh, I was supposed to say some people raise their hands. All right. Anyone ever wash their kid's mouth out with soap? Oh, yeah. See more hands there. Maybe a grandkid. Many of us have something in common then. And so why did this become the general understanding of this commandment? I mean, how did it shift into this particular direction? We were having a conversation on Wednesday about who came up with words and what made them actually bad words. What made words curse words? I mean, it was probably us. You know, there's actually a special on Netflix right now, The History of Swear Words, which, by the way, they use the words an awful lot, so just in case you're worried about that, you might not want to see that. But it was tracing the origins on how they've been used over the years. And it always seems like they appear somewhere, usually derived from another word, which is perfectly fine. However, now they have a different meaning, and they've become outlawed. Outlawed, in a sense, from our vocabularies, words that you don't say. Unless, of course, you walk down any hall in a high school. Yeah, okay. It's interesting that certain words that are almost unthinkable in polite company just a few decades ago, words that you wouldn't hear on television or radio, have now become so commonplace that we don't even bat an eye when we hear them. I even hear pastors share them in everyday conversations and messages. I think part of the reason why this command is understood this way is it has to do with the way we invoke the name of God into some of those words and phrases. Using God's name in vain is like saying the name while holding no reverence for the being that it represents. We can refer back to the first two commands of not having any gods except God, and also not making an idol to worship. This speaks of holding the name of God as holy and reverent. Remember that the Israelites didn't even want to speak the name Yahweh. It was a holy fear that they had. And so when we use an explicative in our conversations, especially those which we flippantly use, the name of God and Jesus Christ, we are using God's name in vain. But there's a whole other aspect to this command that we need to explore, and this has to do with promises and the confessing that what we believe is true. I mean, many times we hear an exclamation point put on a statement that we've just said, proclaiming it as true by saying these words, "I swear to God." Jim Eby actually shared on Wednesday that he uses this one as well. Honest to God. You say something that you emphatically believe is true and you say, "Honest to God." Others will say, "True story, true story." I guess if everything we claimed in our words were true, then we wouldn't have a problem. But what if it wasn't? What if by saying, "I swear to God," we are trying to convince someone of our own personal truth, which might not actually be factual? I know many times when friends would say this phrase because they wanted somebody to believe them, even though they knew they were wrong. They would use words like, I swear on my mother's grave, may God strike me dead, or like I said before, honest to God. We want people to believe us, so we try to persuade them by our words and emotions. However, by invoking the name of God in any of these phrases, when they are not true, we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. So let me ask you another question. How often do you make promises? How good are you at keeping your promises? Maybe that's a better question. Or maybe I should ask, what kind of promises are you more apt to keep, and which ones are easier to break? My daughter and I would make these pinky promises, and I'm not sure if anybody else has made pinky promises before. We have this really interesting ritual that we would do, especially when she was younger, on our pinky promises. They were sealed in a certain way. So we would say a pinky promise, and so you'd link your pinkies together, but then we would get so close as we would kiss our thumbs, and then we would touch our thumbs together, and that would seal the deal. And there was the pinky promise. And those are pretty important to keep. In a way, by making these gestures, we are making a pact or a vow or an oath to each other to do whatever it was that we agreed to. These happen all around us, and we make them almost every day. When we look at this commandment, however, I don't believe this is what is being referred to here. The commandment is talking about taking the name of God in vain, of treating Yahweh as insignificant. And so can you think of times when you would take an oath or a vow swearing to God regarding something? I'm not sure if they still do this in courts, and unfortunately Dave is still not here yet, so I can't ask him. But I remember people placing hands on the Bible and responding to those famous words, "Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God." I'm sure I'll get an email from Dave here pretty soon that'll say yes or no, they still do that. We just witnessed the swearing in of a president where he put his hand on a Bible and swore an oath to uphold the office of president. During weddings, we usually hear vows recited in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On April 24th, I will kneel before our bishop and respond to vows for my ordination with these words, I will, with the help of God. These vows are serious, and they should not be entered into lightly. This is the holy reverence for the name of God that we are invoking. When we make these promises in the very presence of God, we are inviting Him to participate in that oath. To participate in that vow. We are inviting God into a covenant, the promise that we are making. And here is where God tells us that we should not take His name in vain. We should not treat it like it is insignificant, like it doesn't mean anything. These are the most important times to make sure that we hold tight to our vows. It's interesting to think about the context of the ancient Near East when these commands were given and when Jesus was teaching about them on the Sermon on the Mount. People would make vows by swearing on different things, and it seemed like they would put them into two different categories, ones that you must not break at all costs, and those which are vows that really didn't mean that much and therefore could be broken from time to time. In the first category, the must not break, people would swear by the name of God. Thus, you would not break this vow. However, in the second, they would swear by almost anything. And we hear this in Jesus' words. They would swear on heaven, on earth, and Jerusalem, even on their own heads. These vows, they might not think twice about breaking. You see, God wasn't invited into that particular vow, so surely they could break it. But you see, there's a slight problem with that. God cannot be contained in certain areas of your life. God is in all aspects of your life. So just by not mentioning the name of God in vow doesn't necessarily make him absent from that vow. This is why Jesus is telling the people not to swear at all. Don't take an oath. Just let your words and actions speak for themselves. Let your yes be a yes. Let your no be a no. Don't add anything else to it. Now, I know many of you have heard this. How many times have you heard the phrases like this? My word is my bond. Or, my word is as good as gold. Maybe some of you have done business on just a handshake. This can only happen when people follow through with what they say. When you can fully trust what someone else says to be the truth. Now, I know that there's a lot of things being said in the news and on social media that we have a hard time believing. But as usual, Jesus is calling us to be countercultural. We need to let our yes be a yes and our no be a no. We can only do that if we become people of our word. And that is what Jesus is talking about. And so as we look to this promise or the words of life from this particular commandment, let me remind you that the name of God, Yahweh, and so many others that we shared already this morning are sacred. The name of God deserves only our very best, and therefore we should not take lightly anything that references God. However, there's more. You see, we are called to be God's light reflected into the world around us. This means that we need to make sure that we are representing God well. We do this through our words and our actions. You see, we represent God well when we serve meals at the Crisis Center or PADS. We represent God well when we pack all of those shoeboxes for Spirit Lake. We represent God well when we invite the Silver Sneakers into our community room, maintaining their health. We represent God well when we love our neighbors, showing them the same love and grace that we are shown. We represent God well when we purchase books based on inclusivity for a local grade school. And we represent God well when we welcome guests and members into our small groups, into our mission events, and into our worship space. And so instead of thinking about how we should not use the name of God in vain, maybe we should reframe this commandment. You are my representatives in this world. And you shall represent the holy and sacred name of God in all that you say and do. Be people of your word, so that everyone knows what you stand for and that you really mean what you say. Maybe that's the way to look at this commandment today. And as we think about that, as we reflect on that, I once again want to close this message with the words that Adam writes at the end of his chapters, because he always ends it this with what Jesus might say to you. And so I'm going to invite you to do something today. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and imagine that Jesus is speaking to you. And Jesus says this: as my followers, you represent me. Just as I came to bring light to the world, and that light lives in you, I want you to let your light shine, that others might be drawn to, not repelled from, my Father, because of you. You'll find joy and meaning and life as you seek to live each day in such a way that you hallow my name in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Almighty God, we hear you speaking today. We hear you speak those words to us, that we are representatives of you in this world. We are a reflection of your light. Because God, you have placed within us your image. And so we share that image with everyone that we see, everyone that we talk to, and everyone that we serve. So God, let our yes be a yes. Let our no be a no. Let us be people truly of our word. And let us not focus so negatively on trying to stay away from using your name in vain, but let us represent your name well. Let us lift up your name, glorifying you in our words and our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's name is holy and it is reverent. We should never take the Lord's name in vain. And that not only means those horrible words that we sometimes use, but that also means in our promises, in our oaths, in the way we treat others, and the way we say and do things out in the world. Let our yes be a yes, our no be a no. Be people of your word. Be people of God's word. Go forth from this day, knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you. And it does go with you always. Amen.